G'day, everyone. Just a quick reminder that the contents of our episodes are based on discussions and experience that we have lived here at Elephant Advisory and are not to be taken as financial advice. We suggest any listener always seeks qualified professional advice that's tailored to your specific needs. Now that formality is done with, sit back and enjoy today's episode.
Welcome, everybody, to Elephants on Business podcast, improving our small business journey together, one episode at a time. Today, I've got Gav with me, the man of mortgage brokering and in the finance division. G'day, Gav. How are you?
Good, Oz. How are you?
It's great to have you back.
Thanks for that.
What's this, your second podcast
now? Second podcast. I try not to ramble on.
It's good. It's good. You get into more, I guess, as we go through them. So, today, we're going to be talking about sort of how the mortgage brokering role has changed over your journey. So, like, you've been doing it for 6-7 years now?
6-7 years, yeah.
And what are the, what's changed along the way? Like, just as a quick summary, like, from when you first started to, what's happening now within the industry?
Look, in a quick summary, I would say when I first started, it was very transactional based.
Yep.
Now it's very more in depth with the client and what we do for them. And I think mostly, it's now a really long-term service rather than in and out the door.
Yeah, and that transactional base was just a client would come, here's my income and some expenses.
Yeah.
You quickly get it done.
Yeah.
Here's the loan. See you later.
Exactly. Sort of mentality. But basically, when I first started, I was taught to look at a payslip. If you got income, look at a statement. Do you have savings? And your credit report.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah, you're getting a loan.
Whereas and then you submit that and you tick it off.
Exactly. And now it's like there are a lot more questions involved.
Yeah, which will probably stem down to the couple of points that we've got here. Yeah. So, I guess the first one, sort of that you alluded to is, there's probably a little bit more advice along the way, right?
Yeah.
So, like in terms of the mortgage
side
advice or finance side of things, right?
Yeah. I just feel that post a couple of things that we'll talk about, but mainly the Royal Commission, is that it's trained us to, like I said, ask a lot more questions, right? It's made us
more relationship driven.
It's more relationship.
A client comes through the door, rather than going, okay, let's have a quick look at the income, expenses, do they match the criteria, off and running.
Yeah.
That was probably what the first year or so, but then now it's more turned into relationship driven sort of client advice, right? So, like,
it's,
ask more questions, see what their future holds as well. In
exactly,
a sense.
It's a duty of care, right? The level of care has just stepped up a notch. It's really taught us to ask the right questions to the client to make them think and make their best possible decision for them. It's really going into that deep diving conversation about, hey, have you thought about the amount you want to spend or the repayment per month that you want to keep to?
Yeah.
Have you thought about if interest rates have increased in the next year to 1% higher or 2% higher?
Yeah,
what does
impact
that mean
that,
for you?
Does that have?
Yeah. Exactly. What does that impact have for your household? Maybe getting that next level of debt or getting that second house, what does that mean for you? Are you doing it because, I guess, the stigma of,
more property
will solve my my savings and equity balances. But the reality of the situation is that things can change and what has showed us in the last couple of years.
Especially now recently, like, obviously, interest rates are going back up quite rapidly.
Rapidly as well.
So, it's changing people's, obviously, monthly repayments and then, If you haven't budgeted for that or, you haven't taken that into consideration, then it probably will cause a little bit of stress.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, then, as mortgage brokers, you've probably gone up the rank over the last couple of, six years or so, like, in terms of, from a client's perspective, they're probably relying on the mortgage broker a lot more than what they used to in the past, right? So,
there's absolutely
a lot more loans getting punched out through mortgage brokers at this point in time. And obviously, the asset purchase is quite high, so they turn to you guys for that particular advice.
Like, I mean, I guess research shows that, you know, we have about 70% of the market share, right? So, it's a lot different from back in the day. You go into a branch and, you know, you speak to the banker and they get you a loan. Now, it's a lot more of brokers doing that role and less branches out there or, you know, people in that field. What it does is that it puts us, you know, you have your accountants, you have your lawyers, you know, you have your financial planners, but in the sense that brokers are now up there, people are a little bit more educated post the Royal Commission to know that brokers actually, you know, have that level of care where we are looking at your whole financial position. We don't necessarily get paid differently from different lenders, so we have the best interest at heart for you.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, you're just looking at, you know, the overall scenario, looking at that future as well, right? So, like, if a client was a single, like, a couple, no kids, and they're going to buy, like, a massive property, let's say, you would also assess the situation from a perspective of, you know, what happens when they have kids, right? So, like, you ask those tough questions now, right?
And I mean, we're forced to anyway. You know, it's part of our compliance now. And I think because of that, it's formed a better relationship between brokers and the customers now, right? It's you're having such an in-depth conversation about their life.
So, you're not just assessing it at point zero, like one, right? No, so, like, you're assessing it, what happens two years from now, five years from now. The loan period is like 30 years, right? So, it's a long, like,
I mean, it's the biggest expense to anyone, really. You know, 90% of the population. It's what happens with that really affects the next 5 years of your life.
What are some of those questions that you do tend to ask clients based on the future outlook? Like, what would you generally assess from that perspective?
I think
it's like kids is a big one.
Yeah,
like
kids. Kids is a big one. Absolutely. I think it's just mostly like when people do come in, I guess if they're first home buyers, and they've been used to such low rates for such a long time. That, you know, they might want to go harder on their first home, which is great, depending on the client, whoever it is. But, you know, just asking those questions, okay, cool. Are you, you know, giving them their maximum borrowing capacity and then someone saying, oh, okay, great, I'm going to go for that.
Yes.
But have you thought about, hey, what that monthly repayment is?
Yes.
What about next year or the year after? Have you thought about fixing? Are you planning to get married? Are you, you know, are you planning to go overseas, change jobs, all that sort of stuff? You know, have you thought ahead? Are you going to live in this property for the next 5 years? That's the biggest one. You know, some people might say, no, it's just a one-year thing and then I'm going to sell it, hopefully make some money. Well, you know, well, have you thought, you know, maybe rethink your strategy? It's not necessarily telling them what to do because it's not, but it's more mostly...
Yeah, just asking those tough questions make them reevaluate the situation and really assess their point of view. And as a first time buyer, most of the time you're probably just still going through your career as well.
Yeah.
So they might have, like, you know, maybe an answer to all those. Like, yep, I'm going through my career. I expect I'll get a couple of promotions along the way.
Yeah.
And then it's easy to manage after that. Or you know, if they're going to have kids, then, you know, they have to probably assess, okay, we are going down to one income. Do we have sufficient savings aside?
Yeah.
Things like that. I think it's a nice little layer of service that maybe, you know, has a client think about what they're actually doing and before they sign, they're comfortable with the decision that they're making.
Absolutely.
And then leading on to, you know, another large change that you sort of identified was, you know, like lending in general has become a lot more complex, right? So, like, you know, what's some of those changes in sort of that six, 7 years?
Oh, so many. I could probably go here forever. But
like some of the major ones,
mainly metrics based. Like, you know, everyone knows the term LVR, loan to value ratio, and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But there's new terms like DTI, debt to income. You know,
just explain that like a little bit.
Yeah. The difference between LVR is loan to value ratio is the loan compared to the value of the property that you're purchasing, right? A lot of banks like you to be at 80%.
Yeah.
That 20% is the buffer to make sure everything's safe in a downturn economy, right? DTI is debt to income. So, it's your overall debt, your loans, your HECS debts, your personal loans, your credit card limits, all of that to the income that you earn. So there is now a threshold on that as well. You know, before the banks just looked at loan versus asset. Now it's basically your whole financial position versus your income. And there are thresholds being put on that. Because
and like a metric behind that is like it's that debt to income is like a multiple, right? So like if, for example, your income is $100,000, there's a ceiling in terms of, I don't know what the metrics are exactly, but you probably know, like, is it six, seven?
Yeah,
like it does vary, right?
It varies based on, I guess, the market at the time, but usually it sits around 6 to 7 or 6 to 8 times. Yeah,
so like someone on 100,000, let's, for example, assume it's 6 times, then it's 600,000 in terms of
a mortgage.
The maximum that they can
have. Absolutely. But then you chuck in your, you know, all your liabilities in there, and it's not necessarily the case.
Yeah,
that DTI
does come down. Yeah, there's obviously a lot of metrics that go into it, but as an example of how that metric does work, it's just a multiple of income that you get to derive that.
Yeah, it's probably the easiest way to keep a cap without discriminating, really. It's everyone is in that same equation.
Whereas in the past, it was just based on LVR. So if your LVRs come down to 50%, it was
can we
re-lend again and it's no issue, right?
Yeah, re-lend again, and if you have the income suitable to get that done.
Yeah, and what was the biggest push for that change then across that journey?
Definitely the Royal Commission.
Yeah.
So before
the Royal Commission, there was no debt to income, or it wasn't really
not as much. No,
it wasn't as strict.
Yeah, and not only debt to income, there's many, many other different things, policy changes during the banks. You know, I remember prior to the Royal Commission, it was just payslips that you would send in and sort of get this thing done with the ID documents. But you know, during the Royal Commission, it was 6 to 12 months worth of statements. You troll through every transaction.
Yeah.
You are really doing and looking at the expenses in depth. You're asking the client, you know, what are your liabilities? And they tell you their liabilities, but you look them through their discretionary expenses and you might pick up that they have a lot of direct debits, you know, and things like that.
Yeah, like a monthly direct debit.
Exactly. So all those things were important, and they still are. You know, in recent times, I guess those policies have been a little bit more lenient due to rate rises. But at that given moment, you know, that's when it changed from the broker being a transactional-based person to really deep diving and asking you those questions, building that relationship. And then from there, it really became the advisor, really. You're up there with the accountant.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, hey, this person knows basically my whole life. What do you, you know, it's not more like what do you think, but it's more of us saying, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? Yeah.
And I think that gives the client a lot of reassurance with the decision, especially going into like such a big purchase. It's something not a lot of people do. Like, you know, you do it and you're buying a massive asset, you're taking on debt.
Mm.
It's nice to have someone there in your corner going, you know, think about these things along the way.
Absolutely.
Make sure, you know, you've got
a little bit of assurance,
Yeah.
You know,
because, you know, that monthly repayment, it's going to go out every month. It's locked in.
Special is variable.
For 30 years.
30 years.
And you have to make sure you're comfortable with that. And you know, that, obviously, you can sell and, you know, get out of it. Like, there's nothing stopping you from doing that. But then.
Absolutely. But that's, you know, a very last case scenario.
There's all those buying costs again. You've got to pay the stamp duty. You've got to pay.
It's really the mortgage repayment really shapes what you do, you know, for the average Joe, really.
Yeah.
And,
so
it's important to be on top of that, you know, and it's important to have a broker that does look at that every couple of years and making sure that it's competitive for you.
Yeah, so part of your service is obviously looking back and reflecting on the loan as well that was done a couple of years ago, being in touch with the client again, you know, seeing how they're traveling, has anything really changed, reassessing,
absolutely,
you know, the mortgage again and making sure they're probably at the best position that they can be in, right?
Yeah, and I really think,
was that there in the past, or has that changed as well?
As in,
because the relationship now seems like,
I don't think so. I look, I've been in the industry for 6 or 7 years. I would say that's a short time, compared to, you know, many other brokers that are out there that've been in the game for 20 years. They've seen things that I've definitely haven't seen, but I think in the last 6 to 7 years, I have seen a lot or enough to say that when I did first start, even though I was inexperienced in that first one to two years, I definitely think the mindset of brokers have changed a lot. During the Royal Commission, it really weeded out the guys who really came
just
into this game.
To commission, like just
a monetary game, yeah. Right? Whereas now it's really the people who survived that really have gone and upskilled to that next level. I mean, right now, before you would have to just get a Cert 4 and you can become, you can get a license. Now you have to do your whole diploma.
Yeah, yeah.
It's for many other industries as well, just like financial planners. You know?
Yeah, the barrier to enter is gone a little bit harder. So then, it weeds out people that are just in it for themselves.
Absolutely.
It's more, as you said, probably leaning towards relationships and, having that stable, commission across the board, you were referring to before.
Exactly.
You know, you've got the client's best interest at heart rather than, what's in it for me and I'll just pick this bank.
It's really come back to a professional service.
Yeah, which has been excellent, I think, along the journey for you guys.
It has been a hard ride for brokers in the last 6-7 years, but I think we are on the upturn really from that.
And then I guess just leading up to the last point, what do you envision for the future for your industry and things like that? Do you think there's going to be more tightening to come, or do you think it's just going to be stabilized now that they've made the changes after the Royal Commission?
Yeah.
It's probably too hard to tell.
It's very hard to tell coming from a post-COVID world, right? Yeah, from a post-COVID world, very hard to tell. But things are going to get a little bit harder before they get better. I definitely think.
Just because of the
interest rates. And I guess the main thing is the behavioral of the people and how they adjust to this change. But in terms of lending standards, I think there is a standard now that's been completed from the Royal Commission, and I don't think that will change. Like I said, your DTI and all those policies are there now. To ensure that, I guess, going forward, there isn't just people throwing home loans out there.
Yeah, and putting people into stressful positions.
Yeah, and I think that brokers who have survived the Royal Commission are now, I guess, they have their level of standard as well. Yeah. Me as a broker might not just accept anyone as a client in the sense that I will try and get you that home loan maybe from any financial institution, whether that is the right decision or not. Now you start to think and you ask that client, have you thought about this?
Yeah.
Have you had a plan structured a little bit more?
I think that will pretty much wrap up today's episode. Thanks again if you're listening, and obviously give us a like and a share. That goes a long way. And thanks again, Gav, and we'll see you guys soon again.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Cheers. Bye.